And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today from the American Lung Association, we have its Chief Mission Officer, Deborah Brown. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get started with the obvious. Give us that mission statement.
Sure. The American Lung Association is the leading organization working to save lives by improving lung health and preventing lung disease. And we do that through our research, education, and advocacy work. And our work directly touches about 14 million Americans each year, and it's focused on what we call our four strategic imperatives, and that's to defeat lung cancer, to improve the air we breathe, to reduce the burden of lung disease on individuals and their families, and to eliminate tobacco use and tobacco-related diseases.
When we talk about lung disease and those 14 million, are those the ones who are going to be diagnosed or have been diagnosed with lung cancer?
No, not necessarily. Lung cancer is the leading cancer killer of men and women in the United States.
And men and women?
Men and women. And the American Lung Association offers numerous programs, and we have an initiative called the Lung Force Campaign. And it really is to unite women and men to stand against lung cancer and for lung health. And we just recently issued our second state of lung cancer report, and that found that every state must and can do more to help people who have lung cancer or who are potential for lung cancer. And the report shows the impact of lung cancer and how survival rates vary from state to state.
Well, it has been on the increase, though, right? I mean, you're 5-year survival rate for lung cancer has been going up slowly.
That is correct.
What about here?
I know many years ago I've worked for the Lung Association, and I've seen such improvements in the treatment and the diagnosis for lung cancer. But here in Delaware, we found that the first state has a higher than average new lung cancer rate. They also have screening for lung cancer is really at a low rate. They use a low-dose CT scan, and individuals who qualify can then have this low-dose CT scan. And so we know that if individuals get that, we can actually reduce the number of lung cancer deaths by 20%. And so here in Delaware, we're only seeing about 5.5% of those individuals be screened for lung cancer. And so we really are working to get the word out and make sure people know that, you know, there is a tool that can be used. And if you look at the Delaware Valley, we also know that there's about 10,000 individuals in Pennsylvania who will be diagnosed with lung cancer in 2019. And Pennsylvania, we know that they have a higher than average smoking rate of 18.7%, which is one of the risk factors for lung cancer. And so they only have 5.5% of adults getting screened. And then if you look at the other part of the Delaware Valley, New Jersey, we know that there will be about 6,000 New Jersey residents diagnosed with lung cancer in 2019. And as I said, while the report found that survival rates are improving nationwide, it's also noted that New Jersey can improve the number of high-risk cases who receive screening as well, because they only had 3% of high-risk individuals being screened. So we have a lot of work to do.
You know, it's funny when you were talking about the screening and you kept saying screening, and I'm thinking, I've never been screened since I was a really little child. Remember, we used to screen for TB. It was
correct.
Like the beginning of school. It happened to me maybe twice, and then they phased all of that out. Mm-hmm. But that was the only time I ever got screened. But TB, let's talk about other lung diseases. Because when you say, you know, lung disease, the first thing you think of course, cancer. But there are chronic diseases, and there are diseases that are just as life-threatening out there.
Absolutely. The American Lung Association works in many program areas, including those who have asthma. Asthma is something that you can have as a child or an adult. You know, the airways become inflamed, they produce additional mucus, and they narrow, and so it makes it very difficult for individuals to get air in or out of their lungs. And so, you know, there's ways that we help individuals learn how to better manage their asthma, what they can do to prevent an asthma episode from occurring. So we have several programs. And if individuals go to lung.org, they can see something called Asthma Basics. It's a free online program that you can take to learn more about asthma. So anyone who knows someone with asthma or a caregiver or an individual themselves could go there and take that free online program.
Isn't it terrible? I think everybody knows of someone or has heard of someone who's died from an asthma attack.
Absolutely. There are unfortunate cases of individuals dying, and that's why the Lung Association really wants to work with individuals to make sure that they can manage their asthma as best as possible. We also work with individuals who have chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and that can be chronic bronchitis or emphysema can be incorporated into that category. And very similar, airways become inflamed, air sacs get inflated and then don't bounce back or allow the air to get in and out of the individual's lungs. And so, it makes it very difficult. They can't have oxygen and carbon dioxide exchanges. And so it makes it very difficult for them to breathe. They can't get air in or out of their lungs. And so we do something called Better Breathers Support Groups for those individuals. And so we offer support systems so that they can learn more about their disease. They can talk to other individuals who are experiencing the same problems that they might be experiencing with their disease. And so it's really important to make sure that individuals know they can go, again, to lung.org, and they can see where we hold Better Breathers Clubs in any one of the states considered the Delaware Valley.
And now, when we talk about, these are all chronic lung condition, emphysema, COP, et cetera. These are things that impact you for the rest of your life because lungs don't bounce back, do they?
They don't bounce back, no. But it is important if you're, for example, one of the risk factors for many of the lung diseases, not all, but many lung diseases, is the use of tobacco products. And so if you quit smoking, for example, you don't continue to harm the lungs, but the damage that is done is done in many cases. And so that's why it's so important to really encourage individuals to quit smoking or to make sure that they're using protective gear when they're working in some occupations, et cetera, so that they don't continually harm the lung.
Oh, that's true. Asbestos workers, mm-hmm. Finding out so many years, unfortunately, later what was happening. Popcorn workers, that airborne,
correct.
Those airborne pollutants get in there and again, you're looking at a lifetime, your remaining lifetime, suffering from, when you are suffering from lung disease, what are some of the symptoms?
So you might have shortness of breath is probably the symptom that most people recognize immediately. They might have chest pains. They might be coughing a lot, and it's not related to a cold or anything like that. They might, in some cases, for example, if you have lung cancer, you might be coughing up blood. Those are all signs and symptoms that individuals should consult their physician and work with their physician to make sure they have the right diagnostic testing that they need.
And I know that is something that you promote. We'll get to that. But who's affected by lung disease? Is there any one particular group that maybe has more cases of asthma or that is more adversely affected by lung cancer? Because we did mention cigarettes, but a lot of non-smokers get it too.
Anyone that has lungs is really someone that could get lung cancer, for example. We often say that the lungs are the only organ that you're breathing directly. You're breathing the air from the outside directly into the respiratory system. And so it's really important that everyone recognize that you get one set of lungs in most cases. There are often, some people who do have had transplants, but it's very important to protect the lungs that you have. So anyone can get lung disease.
Well, we mentioned, I mentioned women because, and I found this out from you long time ago, lung cancer is the number one cancer death for women.
That's correct. It is the number one cancer killer of women. And that's one of the reasons the American Lung Association has really been working hard to make sure that women, first of all, know that. We want it to be on their radar screen. We want them to be aware of the risk factors associated with lung cancer. And so we launched a campaign called Save by the Scan. for men and women, actually. And Saved by the Scan is the first ever national marketing campaign focused on lung cancer screening. And we did this in partnership with the Ad Council. And we encourage people to go to savedbythescan.org, and they can take a quiz to see if they are considered at high risk. And if they're at high risk, we offer suggestions on next steps for them. And so we are coming out with a new campaign, or we have come out with a new campaign in November. And hopefully individuals have seen that. But again, we encourage anyone who is between the ages of 55 to 80 years old, they're a 30-pack year, they have a 30-pack year history, meaning they've smoked a pack of cigarettes, one pack a day for 30 years or two packs a day for 15 years, and they're a current smoker or they've quit within the last 15 years, we encourage them to talk with their physician about lung cancer screening.
Are those the only risk factors, really, age? I mean, so is this something that, that lungs, as they get old, are more susceptible?
No, for this particular screening, research has found and testing has found that, you know, this is the eligibility that we should be using. There's not enough evidence yet to show screening to be recommended for other groups. So there's research being done, but until that recommendation comes out, this is the risk group that we encourage to be screened.
And, you know, it's terrible, but when you get that diagnosis, the first thing everyone assumes is that you smoked. You were a smoker. You brought it on yourself.
Well, as stigma. I said earlier, anyone can get lung cancer. If you have lungs, you can get lung cancer. And so it doesn't mean that you've smoked. And even if you did smoke, everyone deserves to have the treatment that is available to make sure that they have the best chance to survive and be able to live a healthy, normal life. And so, you know, unfortunately, we have a lot of work to do to encourage people not to do that. But we're seeing younger and younger individuals being diagnosed with lung cancer. And maybe it's the screening, maybe it's, you know, physicians asking right questions, et cetera. But we should never ask someone if they smoked. It's what can I do to help you?
And I have heard people say this, smokers have told me, I say, well, how come you don't quit? Well, at this point, why bother? Is it ever too late to stop smoking?
It's never too late to stop smoking. We encourage everyone who wants to quit smoking. Again, they can go to lung.org. They can look at the different resources that are available. Delaware has a quit line that could help telephonically if someone's interested. The American Lung Association has a helpline. It's 1-800-LUNG-USA. And anyone can call and get free assistance to help them quit smoking or even just to ask any questions that they have about lung disease in general. We have respiratory therapists and nurses who are available to help them.
And that number again was 1-800-LUNG-USA. I like that. That's easy. And so is lung.org. Love that. If you want more information about anything that we've talked about today or what we're getting to, lung.org and savedbythescan.org. Take advantage of all the services offered by the American Lung Association. I'm Laura Lewis, and you are listening to Our Delaware Valley. And today, our guest is the Chief Mission Officer for the Lung Association, Deborah Brown. Again, lung.org. And you know I didn't think to ask this beforehand, and it's cool. How did the Lung Association get its start?
Well, it is very interesting. The American Lung Association has Delaware roots, specifically Delaware. However, it did end up going up into the Philadelphia area as well. But we had a pioneering public health hero named Emily Bissell, and she was a lifelong activist and social worker. And she really was best known for her groundbreaking work in fundraising for tuberculosis. And at the turn of the century, tuberculosis was the leading cause of death in the United States. And so in 1907, Emily took action to help her cousin, who was a physician. He had a small sanatorium on the Brandywine River here in Wilmington, Delaware, and he needed additional money to keep the sanatoriums open. And so with the hope of raising about 300 dollars to keep the doors open, she launched something called the Christmas Seal Campaign. And she asked people to purchase the Christmas seals. And she started it out here in the Wilmington Post Office, and it didn't go so well. So she went to a friend up in Philadelphia and at the Philadelphia newspaper and worked with them, and it just took off. And so Emily actually raised over $3,000 for the fight against tuberculosis in that first year. And to this day, the American Lung Association still uses Christmas seals as a symbolic way for others to show their support for lung health.
And when you talk about the history of tuberculosis, the American Lung Association was one of the reasons why we're not all coughing up right now.
Absolutely. There was a drug that came out that was shown to help individuals who had tuberculosis. And then in 1944, the American Lung Association funded research that showed the first effective drug for TB. In 1950, we did the research that funded a new drug that prevented the spread of infection to other family members who had tuberculosis.
And research is still a major part of the mission.
Absolutely. For over 115 years now, the American Lung Association has continued our research, and we look to fund research that has direct life-changing impact on patients. And we do that in two ways. We have an awards and grants program, which is where individuals apply and they do individual work. And then we have something called Airways Clinical Research Centers. And it's a network. It's the nation's largest not-for-profit network of clinical research centers. And it's dedicated specifically to asthma and COPD, which we talked about a little bit earlier. And so this year, the American Lung Association has increased our research investment to $8.7 million. And we have 18 clinical research centers throughout the country. Our closest one here in the Delaware Valley is at Temple University Hospital. And we also have, in the Delaware Valley area, we have 5 researchers who are receiving awards and grants from the American Lung Association.
And this is a big economic. This has a big economic impact. Lung disease is very costly.
Lung disease is very costly. In 2009, lung disease accounted for $31.7 billion in indirect costs from premature death. And then this was on top of the $97.9 billion in direct health care costs. So the total is about $130 billion. And, you know, that's including things such as lost school days, lost work days, healthcare costs, as we said. And so it is very expensive when someone has lung disease.
So obviously, it benefits everyone to do our best to end this. And another area that you're working on are the causes of lung disease. And that's everything from the environment to that smoking. And you said that smoking has actually gone up in places.
Smoking, it depends what you consider. Yes, smoking continues. Actually, it's been on the decline. And, you know, there is some new I'm sure everyone's heard of electronic cigarettes or e-cigarettes. And so we've been seeing a lot of use of those particular products by particularly young people. And so the American Lung Association has been working to implement some programming to help young people quit their use of these tobacco products.
Do people think they're smoking when they're using a vapor product?
A lot of people don't realize that e-cigarettes are tobacco products. If you ask them, do they smoke, they would say no. You ask them, do they, for example, use Juul, they would probably say yes. So they don't see that these products are tobacco products. And we are trying to make sure that they are aware of that because we've done such a good job with our young people encouraging them not to smoke cigarettes, traditional cigarettes. And so we are now trying to educate them that there is no safe tobacco product, including electronic cigarettes. And so some people think that they're using a product that is safer for them, and that has not been proven by the FDA.
Well, I know that the Lung Association was instrumental in getting the age for purchase of tobacco products lifted, raised in multiple states. I mean, across the country, you've done wonders with that.
That is correct. That there's two different crises that are really happening right now. And the first is that our ongoing youth e-cigarette epidemic and the high prevalence of youth using e-cigarettes. So preliminary data shows from CDC, it shows that 27.5% of high school students are vaping, and that's an increase of 135% over the last 2 years.
25%?
27.5.
Oh.
27.5. And then the second outbreak is issue is the outbreak of pulmonary illnesses among both adults and youth that are attributed to the use of e-cigarettes or vaping. And CDC, FDA, state departments of health are all working on that actively. And so, you know, the American Lung Association has been very clear in our position. We warn against the use of all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes. Just the inhalation of harmful chemicals into your lungs is not healthy.
Now, do they all use tobacco product, though? When I see an ad for something that says mango, is that tobacco still?
It is part of the liquid that is being used. It is part of the e-cigarette. So it's called, we call them our flavors. And flavors seem to attract a lot of young people to use those particular products. And so there's a lot of work across the country right now to remove flavored products from the shelves so that young people will not be using those products and become addicted for life.
People who think that smoking is not cool will still sit down at a hookah cafe and use one of those, use a pipe.
Again, the American Lung Association issues their strong warning that, you know, there is no safe tobacco product, including traditional cigarettes, e-cigarettes, hookah. You know, there's just proven reason to use those particular products.
Okay, so now, but smoking isn't the only thing that's out there waiting to get us. And I'm being all smug because I'm not a smoker here, but the environment, air pollution, again, airborne particles that can get, you can inhale. It's a scary world.
It is a scary world, and the American Lung Association has been working to create healthy environments, particularly healthy air. And each year we release a report called The State of the Air. And this report looks at, it's a report card, and it looks at the two pollutants, ozone and particle pollution. And we give states and cities and counties grades according to whether they've exceeded the actual limit. And so that comes out late April. And again, you can go to lung.org to look up your county, city, state, and really get an idea of what the air is like that you're breathing.
And let's get into household pollutants, too, for kids with asthma. And it's sad, but low-income homes are more adversely affected by this. Are there reasons behind?
Well, I think, you know, we just need to look at all environments. You know, the first thing we want to do is make sure that there is no smoking occurring. We don't want exposure to secondhand smoke in any home. We want to look for, you know, opportunities to remove dust, mold, any pest-type issues that might be there. And in some cases, young people and adults are allergic to animals, things like that. So there's a variety, a home assessment that really, you know, individuals should be looking at to make sure that they're doing the best that they can to manage their asthma or other lung diseases.
Well, in our waning moments, now you've mentioned the Saved by the Scan and the Lung force. You want to talk about the programs that you do offer that are direct to patients and to the population?
Sure. Again, I would encourage anyone with asthma to go to our asthma basics, which is on lung.org, the Better Breathers support groups. We offer asthma-friendly communities programs. So we encourage schools to be asthma-friendly schools. We have those programs available. And then for anyone who wants to quit smoking, we have some extremely well evidence-based programs called Freedom from Smoking. And so we offer those in a variety of modalities. And then, you know, looking at the e-cigarette epidemic, we do have two programs that we offer. One is called In Depth, and that program is an alternative to suspension or citation that really helps schools and communities address the teen vaping problem in a more positive and supportive way. Instead of looking at a punitive measure, we try to talk about addiction and healthy alternatives. And then for anyone in a youth who wants to quit, we have something called the Not on Tobacco Cessation Youth Cessation Program. And it's a voluntary youth-centered cessation program that includes all tobacco products, including e-cigarettes. And then, you know, one of the most important things that I would like to say also is that, you know, quitting, we want people to remember that switching from traditional to electronic cigarettes is not quitting. So we want people to quit, not to switch. And so we have an online format that has 9 sessions that individuals can go into over a 6-week period.
I'm obviously coughing a lot today. Flu shots.
Yes. So this is the season we want people to get their annual flu shot. And flu shots are something that you need to do each year because there's a new strain. And the flu is contagious. It's caused by a virus. And the symptoms can affect many parts of your body, including the lungs. And the flu spreads from person to person. You sneeze, you cough, et cetera. And so we want to make sure that individuals, particularly those with lung diseases such as asthma, COPD, make sure that those individuals get their flu shot. We also encourage adults 50 years or older to prioritize getting a flu shot because many times they have specific chronic diseases or other issues that make them more vulnerable. Older individuals, we want to make sure that they get their flu shot. So it's really important. Now is the time. If you haven't already received your flu shot, we encourage you to do so.
And all of this takes money. You've got some great events coming up. I know we have a list of them at lung.org. You can find out more information. But what's coming up?
Sure. So we have our Fight for Air climb in Philadelphia area, which is climbing 1,088 steps at 3 Logan Square. We have the Caesar Rodney Half Marathon and 5K event. That's held in Delaware. We usually have over 1,200 individuals run. We have our Lung Force Walk that is usually held in the Rehoboth area, but we also have one in the Philadelphia area. And you and any of your friends who want to form a team can go to lung.org and type in Lung Force Walk, and certainly we'll put you in the right direction. And then for anyone who is a healthcare provider or someone who has lung disease or their caregiver, we have something called our Lung Force Expo, and we have educational sessions. It's a day-long program, and the closest one here will be held in Baltimore, Maryland, or in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
And, of course, you can always make a donation at lung.org.
Absolutely.
And you use all that money to do
a variety of programs, our smoking cessation program, our health education programs, our research, making sure that everything that we do in advocacy, health, education, and research can continue in every community that we work within.
Lung.org for more information about everything. Lung.org. Another one to remember, savedbythescan.org. And if you are concerned and you want to quit smoking, you want tips, et cetera, and help, call 1-800-LUNG-USA. But, of course, you can link to everything that we talked about, lung.org. And, of course, we've been talking to Deborah Brown today, Chief Mission Officer for the American Lung Association. Thank you for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you for having the American Lung Association.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.